How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we are beginning our series on Surah Al-Qiyamah. And this is Surah number 75 in the Mus'haf. The Surah goes by the name of Surah Al-Qiyamah and also Surah La Uqsim. The number of ayat are 40. And this is similar to Surah Al-Naba. Surah Al-Naba also has 40 ayat. There's only two surahs in the Quran that have 40 ayat, and these are these two. There's another opinion that says there's only 39 ayat in this surah, and that's because they combine 15 and 16. They say those two are just one. But that seems to be a minority opinion. Now, this is a Mekki surah, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and in terms of the order of revelation, Jabir ibn Zayd reports it as number 31. But again, this is more speculative. Now, in terms of what we'll find within the surah, today we're just going to be taking a look at it from a sort of bird's eye view, just to get a feel for it before we really get into it. Mostly it's going to be introductory comments, inshallah. What's interesting is that in terms of commands, I always like to look at this because I find it interesting. How many times does Allah Ta'ala give a command in a surah? How many times does He ask a question in a surah? What are the types of names that He mentions about Himself? How many times does He talk to the Prophet ﷺ directly? I like to look at these things because I feel it gives a very interesting perspective when you take this sort of overview. Now, in terms of commands, there's only two, and they're both directed to the Prophet ﷺ. لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنْ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. So both of them, ayat 16 and 18, are talking about the Qur'an. Don't try to rush with it, O Muhammad ﷺ, and instead try to follow it. So these are the two commands that are given. In terms of, so only two commands, the rest of the surah, even though it's for a non-Muslim audience, they're not being commanded. They're just being told basically to think and reflect about reality. In terms of questions though, not only does Allah Ta'ala have lots of questions, but Allah cites the questions that disbelievers will have. So let's take a look, there are seven of them. So twice, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ. One time, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّنْ نَجْمَعَ عِظَامًا. Does a human being think that his bones will not be brought together? أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدًى. That's later on in the surah, ayah number 36. Does the human being think that he's going to be left neglected? Really? So then, these are two questions at the beginning and end, basically. Then you have also in the center a bunch of statements that are questions from the non-Muslims. يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. They ask you, when is Judgment Day? So it's their question. And also, يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ. But on Judgment Day, when it finally comes, they're going to be asking, what's the escape route? How do I get out of here? How do I make this stop? And also when they are dying, وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقُ. The people that are standing around the person dying, they're going to ask, who's going to fix this person? How can we fix him? There's no fixing. Death has to come. So it's interesting that you find that Allah Ta'ala is saying, these are your questions, now let me ask my questions. For example, Allah says, أَلَمْ يَكُوا نُطْفَةً مِنْ مَنِيٍ يُمْنَى. Isn't it the case that you were just a sperm drop that was emitted? And furthermore, Allah Ta'ala finishes the surah, ending the surah with, أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيَى الْمَوْتَى. That one, isn't that one the one who created you? Isn't he capable of reviving those that are dead? So subhanAllah, it seems that there's lots of questions in this surah, and the objective here clearly is to get you to think. Furthermore, when it comes to the names of Allah Ta'ala, you don't find that there are names of Allah like, you know, Al-Alim, Al-Qadir, and so on and so forth. You do find that Allah calls Himself I and we a lot. There's lots of the royal we in this surah. All over, the royal we is used. And of course, the name of Allah, Ar-Rabb, the Lord. Now, in terms of the Prophet ﷺ being addressed directly, six times. So this is a surah that even though it's directed to the disbelievers, you find that the Prophet ﷺ is being talked to directly quite a bit. Moving on, there is a ring structure. I talked about it before, the ring structure between Surah Al-Insan and Surah Qiyamah, how both of them kind of fit each other. I did talk about that in detail in the previous surah, so I'm not going to repeat it. But what I will take a look at is the other neighbor, right? There's the surah after it, Surah Insan, because this is 75 we're talking about. So after it is 76, Surah Insan, and before it is obviously 74, Surah Al-Mudathir. Surah Al-Mudathir, that's what I want to focus on a lot, because it's really quite beautiful how these two surahs connect thematically. So I want to show a bunch of different points. At the end, this is, in my opinion, this is one of the most significant. At the end of Surah Mudathir, there's a point being made about subjective morality. بَلْ يُرِيدُ كُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُؤْتَى صُحُفًا مُنَشَّرًا كَلَّا بَلْ لَا يَخَافُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah Ta'ala says at the end of Surah Mudathir, rather, every single one of them, each one of these disbelievers, they desire that they would be given their own spread out scriptures. In other words, oh, you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa you're receiving the Qur'an, one truth for everybody, right? But what do they want? I want my own subjective, you know, manual that fits my life. In other words, instead of God telling me what to do, I'm telling God what I want. I want revelation in a certain way. That's how the surah ends. Then this surah begins, Surah Al-Qiyamah. And in it, you find something remarkable. Allah Ta'ala begins with, La uqsimu bi yawm al-qiyamah, wa la uqsimu bi al-nafs al-lawwamah. I swear by judgment day, I swear by the day of resurrection, and I swear by the reproaching soul. So, this I'm going to be talking about this oath quite a bit, inshallah. I'm not going to be spending so much time on it today, because it's very heavy. There's a lot to unpack here. But the main point that I want to highlight is that Allah Ta'ala is calling to this reality of Judgment Day, saying, look, it's a fact. There is a Judgment Day, and I swear by it. And there's another, I swear by the fact that there is this Judgment Day, and I am calling to oath, and I'm swearing by what? The fact that within you, you have a reproaching soul. You have a nafs al-lawwama. Now, what does this imply? This implies that even if you get away with all the worst crimes, you can't get away from what? Your own soul getting mad at you. Now, wait a second. There's no reprimand in this life. Nobody caught me. No one's going to put me to jail. No one's going to punish me. No one's going to fine me. Nothing's going to happen. So why is it the case that I don't feel good about it? Why is there something telling me this is, you're not going to get away with this. This is bad. You're going to be facing the consequences. And you're going to have this thing nagging you until you make it right. Why is that the case? Human beings want evidence for Judgment Day, and it seems that in this ayah, the beginning of this surah is saying what? What do you mean you need to see Judgment Day? You don't need to see it. The evidence is within you. If you were just an animal like all the other animals, then you could go up to one animal just like, I don't know, two monkeys. One of them sees that one of them's holding an apple or a banana. He runs up, he grabs it, he takes it, he eats it. The idea of going up to him and saying, don't you know that belonged to him? What do you mean, belonged to? What does that mean? Right? No, it's a right. What is a right? He had it, now I have it. I ate it, I'm happy. Game over. Right? What's the problem? No, but you see, the thing is, it's immoral because since he was holding it first, he's the one that found it, therefore it belongs to him, it is his right. No concept whatsoever, right? If he fights him and kills him, whatever. If he steals his stuff, no problem, right? So if we are designed for this world and everything starts and finishes in this world, then as long as you get away with it, you should feel fine. Why do I have this nagging, persisting thing that is torturing me so much it could literally lead to suicide, which it does in some cases. Some people literally take their lives because of their guilty conscience. Happens actually more often than you think. SubhanAllah. So this thing is very, very powerful. Why is this screaming at me? And funny enough, the disbelievers in the previous surah were saying what? Why don't you send me revelation that is catered to me? It's almost as if this surah, or it seems to be the case, and Allah knows best, that this surah is answering that point. Let's say you did get it. Let's say you, individual guy who loves to steal, I gave you the revelation that said your stealing is awesome. Would that make you feel better? Right? If I said, I'm a prophet of God, and here it is, you would know this is false. This is a false prophet. This is nonsense. Even if your religion is telling you that wrong is right, you still deep down know. Your fitrah is screaming at you. So it's amazing that Allah Ta'ala is saying, they're all saying, no, I should have a revelation that's catered to me. But the fact of the matter is, that won't help you in the akhirah, yawm al-qiyamah, la uqsimu bi yawm al-qiyamah. That won't even help you in this life. It's not going to help your reproaching soul. Your reproaching soul is still going to tell you it's wrong. Even if somebody's patting you on the back, oh, don't worry, I have the biggest hat, and I have the fanciest robes, and I'm some pretend religious guy, and I'm telling you what that wrong thing that you did is still right. Well, then why do I feel terrible about it? So it doesn't work. So the connection between the two surahs is remarkable. There are many other connections as well. For example, Allah Ta'ala talks about patience with Allah in Surah Muddathir by saying what? وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. Be patient with your master. You have to be patient, persistent, and consistent with whatever your master tells you. And then Allah also says, with regards to patience in this other surah, so I'm paralleling the two surahs. Muddathir says what? وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. With your Lord, be patient. And then in Surah Qiyamah, Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah says what? وَلَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Don't hurry your tongue and be impatient with the revelation. So you have the parallel. In one surah, don't be impatient with Allah, and in the other surah, don't be impatient with His revelation. Quite beautiful parallel. Then you also have, when it comes to Judgment Day, there are the people and there's the events. What's happening and how are the people reacting? When it comes to the people, Allah says in Surah Muddathir, فذلك يومئذ يوم عسير على الكافرين غير يسير. This is going to be a day that's very difficult upon the disbelievers. Not easy at all for them. And in terms of the events, وخسف القمر وجميع الشمس والقمر. Allah says that this is the day that the moon will be eclipsed and the sun and the moon are going to come together. Now, another really fascinating point is about the internal versus external. These two seem to parallel each other in various themes. For example, the theme of the arrogant people reacting to the truth. In Surah Muddathir, Allah says, إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. This is the way, like, he sits there, he thinks about it, he contemplates, then he thinks about it some more, and cursed is the way he's contemplating. Cursed is the way that he's considering the truth. So internally, he's got this ugly process of denial of the truth. Then externally, in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah says what? ثُمَّ ذَهَبَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ يَتَنَطَّى. He goes back to his family, swagging. Walking with swaggeredly, acting like he's pompous and so on and so forth. So internally, he had this ugly reaction to the truth. Externally, this is how he's reacting to the truth as well, the disbeliever. Furthermore, we have heedlessness. Heedlessness externally and internally. You see the two being paralleled. Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah says what? وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. Externally, what were you doing? You were hanging out with a bunch of people, wasting your time, talking nonsense with the nonsense talkers, right? And internally, what were you doing? Allah says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Did you really think you would be left neglected? Did you really have that much heedlessness, that much ghafla inside? You were chilling with your friends externally, and internally you're thinking, that's it, nothing matters. Really? Is that what was going on inside? So heedlessness being covered from both perspectives. One really heavy one, concept that's dealt with beautifully, and this will be the final one, and inshallah we'll continue next week, is in terms of the contrast of dunya and akhirah. Let's take a look at a bunch of them. So in Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah Ta'ala says what? كَأَنَّهُمْ حُمُرٌ مُسْتَنْفِرَةٌ فَرَّتْ مِنْ قَسْوَرَةٌ. When the truth comes to them, when they're presented with the truth, what do they want to do? They want to flee from the truth in this dunya. In this dunya, they want to run from it. It's as if the Prophet ﷺ, even though he's the one in the minority, and he's the one who they're threatening, when he has the truth, he is like a lion, and they're like donkeys running away. Why? Because you can threaten me with your weapons, but the moment I say something that's true, it hurts you, and you hate to hear it. Why? Because it's embarrassing. You all know, you're going to look at each other all like, he's right. So you're terrified of the truth in this dunya, and you are fleeing from it. What about fleeing on Judgment Day? Allah says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ. How can I get out? How can I run? So there is this concept of fleeing, farrat and mafar. So the same word being used twice in two different ways, basically implying what? That these people try to escape and run from the truth in dunya, and they're going to try to run from Judgment Day, on Judgment Day in the Akhirah. Next is when it comes to what gets advanced and improved and what gets regressed and devolves in this dunya. And Allah says in Surah Al-Muddathir, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ. This is the revelation, this is the truth for anybody who wants to go forward in life, or if you want to go back, it's up to you. What do you want to do? You want to improve or get worse? And in Surah Al-Qiyamah, the same concept, Allah says, يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. Same words. On that day, every human being will be informed. What did you put forward and what did you leave behind? So, contrast between dunya and akhirah, but same concepts being used. Then, when it comes to the Qur'an, this is a little different, this is about the Qur'an. The Qur'an in terms of people and the Qur'an in terms of the Prophet. The Qur'an in terms of the people is what? كَلَّا إِنَّهُ تَذْكِرَ فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. This Qur'an for the disbelievers is what? In Surah Al-Muddathir. No, this is nothing but a reminder for whoever wants. If you want it, you can take it. If not, that's fine. That's for the people. But in terms of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ ثُمَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. So we are the ones who have to gather it and recite it over you. So when it is recited over you, then follow it to the best of your ability. So the contrast between the Qur'an. Now going back to Judgment Day, this was a theme I was focusing on. Even the eyes, very interesting. In dunya, Allah Ta'ala zooms in Surah Muddathir about the eyes of the disbelievers. It talks about Walid ibn al-Mughira staring disrespectfully at the Prophet ﷺ, rolling his eyes, frowning. What? What are you talking about? When Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ نَظَرْ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرْ ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرْ. This is the way his eyes are going to be reacting. Then he considers, he's staring. What? Really? Then he frowns, he scowls. Come on, what are you talking about? Then he turns back arrogantly, doesn't care. That's what the eyes are in dunya. What about in the akhirah? Allah says what? فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ. When the vision will be dazzled on that day. That day you'll take me seriously. See, a true honest believer, when he's told something that It's like an arrow just hits the mark that makes perfect sense, that you've been waiting to make sense of this issue your whole life. Your eyes light up. Oh, that was the truth. Man, can you, where'd you get that from? What did you say? That makes sense. But these people, they hear something brilliant, truth, wisdom. They don't want to take it. They just kind of scoff at it like it's nothing. And then Allah says, don't worry, on judgment day, the eyes will light up. They were supposed to light up, but they didn't. So now Allah Ta'ala is telling them. And in terms of intercession, no intercession in akhirah, no intercession even in dunya. So when it comes to the issue of intercession in the akhirah, Allah says in Surah Al-Mudathir, فَمَا تَنْفَعُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. On that day, they will have no intercessor for them, the disbelievers. Nobody, hey, can you stick up for me? Can you talk on my behalf? Can you help me out? You know, we were friends, right? Can you help me out today? Nothing. You'll get nothing on judgment day. What about in this dunya? وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقَ. They will be told, when the guy's dying, when the guy's on his deathbed, and he's وَالْتَفَتِ السَّاقْ بِالسَّاقْ, right? His legs are rubbing back and forth. You know when people are lying on their deathbed and they're kind of groaning back and forth and their legs are rubbing together, and people are saying, where is the doctor? Where is the specialist? Why can't we fix him? I will give you any amount of money. I am super rich, multi-millionaire, multi-billionaire. Just make me live forever. And they're saying, who can fix this? Where's the intercessor that can fix this on this day? Answer is, there is none. إِلَى رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقِ. Allah Ta'ala is the one in charge on that day. He is the one driving the affairs, masaq, on that day. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ بِالصَّوَابِ. So anyway, I don't want to go on too long in terms of introduction. I will be giving a little bit more introductory remarks, inshallah ta'ala, about the surah. Very, very interesting, very powerful. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who can appreciate every surah of the Qur'an. May Allah Ta'ala make us appreciate not just the surah itself, but even the connection between the surahs and see how they complete each other. So many themes, even though these are short surahs, I mean, it's just 40 ayat, and yet you see so many themes that one is completing the other. And they're showing, you know, dunya versus akhirah, people versus the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or, you know, and so on and so forth, what I just mentioned. And I'm sure there are more, inshallah ta'ala. But with that, we will close. May Allah ta'ala bless you all. May Allah ta'ala open our eyes to the beauty of the Quran, help us memorize it, practice it, recite it, and so forth. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.